Glad to be here this morning. Thank you, Watkins family, and Jeremiah. Thank you for bringing me on the way you did. And I want to say thank you to Aaron Edwards, who spoke last week. Appreciate him standing in. I was not feeling very well. I had to have mouth surgery, oral surgery, and so I was under a lot of medication. So I definitely wasn't in the attitude or the mindset to be able to share God's word. So anyway, but it's glad to see you all, John and Adam, and some folks from Fairbanks, and of course some former youth. Good morning, Deborah. How you doing? Good to see you this morning. And of course, I have my normal Sunday crew here this morning, seated here in the sanctuary. I have my bride and the chairman of our board, Lou Wetter, and the children's pastor. We have her here this morning, Karen Roberts, and my sound man, the man of the hour. We got him back there, DJ. We thank you. I thank you, brother, for helping us out this morning. Indeed, it's a joy to be here this morning, and I miss being able to say he is risen, and I know that you all will say he is risen indeed. That was great, that resurrection morning out there at the fairgrounds. There's a lot of people there, some 600 cars out there in the parking lot, and when we said he is risen, everybody honked their horns. He has risen indeed. So I hope that you join me this morning when I do say he is risen, and that you would say he is risen indeed. Well, the word that I had prepared for last week, but I think that God's word, I believe God's word is good in any occasion. And so, this passage is probably one of my favorites. It's one of my top 10 favorites in God's Word. And this story, I don't know why, but it just tugs at me. And so, this morning, I pray that it speaks to you too. So, if you would please turn your Bibles to this very familiar passage. It's found in Luke, the 24th chapter, starting with verse 13. Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. And so I just want to share that with you this morning. The On the Road to Emmaus is what it's described as in my Bible. And so... I want to, before I get started, I want to just thank Father for touching a little friend of mine, Eleanor, this morning. She had surgery on her knee, and she wasn't feeling very well, and her mom and dad took her to the hospital, and they had surgery on her little knee, and the doctors, they found a rock. They found a little rock in her knee, and that was what was causing her some trouble, so... Some pain. So we just want to give God the glory in everything. Some might say, you're giving God glory for a rock that you found in the knee? I'm like, yeah, why not? He's there in the little things and in the big things. A little girl, her name is Devana, and she had her appendix. Taken out, wasn't feeling well, and I think that was 2 days ago, if I'm correct, and so now she's bouncing back, so I thank God for that too. So just watch our Father watching over the little people, you know, so I just want to give him glory. I just want to give him praise. I think for too often we ask for things, but we don't say thank you, and so this morning, I just want to give him praise for watching over those little girls' lives and being there for them. Well, Let's get to our text this morning. Luke 24, starting at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were walking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning when they did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening. The day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Let us pray. Father God, this morning we come together, maybe not physically, but virtually. We are together, coming to worship our God, our awesome God, who no matter where we are, he is always present. He is always knowing. A God that is always loving his people. And so this morning, Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, a day in which we have to worship you. Father, these words, I pray that they would affix themselves to each and every one who is hearing these words this morning. And Father, I pray that you would touch me in a special way, anoint me in a way that I would be able to share your word that would bring favor to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's talk about these two guys this morning. These guys were on a road to this little town called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And all was lost. Jesus had died. And even though they said that the women went to the tomb and it was empty and the angels spoke to them, and still others went out and found it empty, they really didn't seem to believe the stories. They just couldn't wrap the events that had taken place around their head. And they're thinking, is Jesus really dead? He's got to be dead. He's not in the tomb. And as I shared a couple of weeks ago, the Romans, they didn't play around when it came to putting someone on the cross. Their job was to crucify those individuals. It's not like they had anything personal, but that was their duty, to make sure that no one that went up on the cross came down on the cross the same way they went up, that they indeed died. These two guys were disciples of Jesus. They weren't part of the varsity. They weren't part of the original 12, but they were part of God's team. They were disciples. They were followers of His, and they were devoted into caring for Jesus and believing that He would be the one, as Scripture says, the one to redeem Israel. There they were. They witnessed the brutality on the cross. They saw what had happened, how they had destroyed Jesus' body physically, the beatings, the ridicule, what they did to Him on the cross, how they thrust that spear into His side. They'd witnessed all of that. They must have been in town that Sunday morning and had heard what had been taking place, what had taken place, what the women had seen. And there was this bewilderment, there was this confusion that was going on about what happened to the body of Jesus. They knew that the body came off the cross. They know that it went into the tomb. The stone was rolled over the in front of the tomb. It was sealed. And now the tomb is open, and Jesus's body is not there. These disciples, no one was really buying it. They were saddened that Jesus had died, but they had no expectation that He would return. You see, when you die, That was it. That was in their mindset. There's like, he's died. He's dead. He's not coming back. Luke tells us about the encounter with Jesus when Jesus said to them, he says, "What is this conversation?" In verse 17, he says, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. They looked sad. They were lost. They were depressed. They were demoralized. Seriously, I think if we were in their shoes, we would be the same way. Remember, the dead don't come back. And on top of that, someone took his body. The tomb is empty. So their hearts and their minds, their spirits, all of that just racing. After they began talking to Jesus, they said one of the most disheartening things. They said, "But we had hoped," Karen, they said, "but we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel." We had hoped. They had hoped that he was the one. Wow. Have you ever been there? in your walk with Jesus? Have you ever been there? Have you ever had this sense that you had hoped? I'm not talking about the wishful kind of thinking. I'm talking about the true belief of something taking place, the expectation of something happening, something that you prayed about, fervently prayed about. And it just didn't happen. And maybe it was something with healing, or maybe it was it dealt with your marriage, or with your kids, or whatever it is, but it just didn't happen as the way you had hoped it would. And now your hope is gone. These guys had hope. Their hope was in Jesus. But now he's dead. And they know that people don't come back to life. But here's where we are different. This is where we, you and I, children of God, are different. You see, without the resurrection, where is faith? Do you get me? The resurrection. Where is our faith? It's crazy, but we must have that resurrection type of faith. We must not doubt it. Not doubt it for not 1 minute. I know it's hard to say. We've got to hold fast to that. And I know that some people are like saying that you Christians, you guys are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Come on. People don't come back alive. People don't come back alive. But Jesus did. You see, our faith, our foundation is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Imagine yourself calling yourself a follower. Imagine yourself calling yourself a follower and yet denying the resurrection. What kind of faith is that? There's no miracles, no hope, no future of life. You just live. You do good things. You're a good person. And then you die, and then that's it. Church, I know that there's so much more to that. And children of God that believe in the resurrection believe in that. If you take the resurrection out of your faith, you have nothing. That's why the hearts were burning when Jesus started recounting the biblical story of the Old Testament, how everything was pointed toward Jesus, the stories that the prophets told, and that led to the revelation of Jesus as the Christ. Listen, Paul, the Apostle Paul, spoke to the resurrection to the town of. In a letter to Corinth, and that we talked about that on a Resurrection Sunday as four pastors. We only had like five to 7 minutes to speak on eight passages. So where we stopped is where I want to continue on this morning. And I'm not going to read all 47 verses of that. I know you just went, whew, thank you. All right. So, but I am going to share just a portion of that text with you this morning. So if you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll be starting with verse 12. And this passage reads, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, the 12th verse, all right? And it speaks about the resurrection. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are raised, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have persuaded. And if in Christ we have hope in his life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Do you hear what Peter's saying? He's saying, if we don't believe in the resurrection, then we are to be pitied and our faith is in vain. It's all for naught. This whole meeting together on Sundays and on Wednesdays or whenever we meet, our gatherings together, it's all for naught if we don't believe in the resurrection. We're just a good club. That's all we are. We're nothing more and nothing less if we do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. We're messed up if we don't believe in that. The resurrection is the focus of who we are in Christ. Without the resurrection, we really are to be pitied. That's what Paul said. We're to be pitied. Well, let's get back to the story. These two disciples, they didn't get it. They had lost hope. What's really cool, I think, is that Jesus is right there with them. And granted, Jesus hid himself from them, but the words that he was speaking to them, and their loss in the hope of Jesus. Jesus just didn't say, "What's wrong with you guys?" He didn't rip into them, you know, and, you know, that's always something that Jesus could do. You know what I mean? He's like, "Hey, I just died on the cross. I died on the cross and I've risen like I said I would. And I've only been gone a couple days and already you guys have lost hope? Come on. Come on, guys." He said that they were foolish, not fools. They are foolish because they let go of their trust and belief of the one that they had trusted in for those 3 years that they had walked with him. When Jesus was there, they believed. Okay. When Jesus was there, they believed. When he was gone, they had no belief. Their unbelief grew. And Jesus filled in the blanks for them so that they were no longer staring blankly at their loss. You really can't beat those guys up. You can't beat up those disciples. How many times have we believed when times are good? How many times did we say thank you to God when we received the things that we hoped for? We're like, right on, God, right? We're like, yay, God. As we said like 3 years ago in one of our vacation Bible school, wow, God, yeah? And so we were saying that, you know, when things are good, we're saying, wow, God. And we believe in him, of course, right? How can we not help but believe in him because things are good? But then, when the inconceivable happens, when we don't get what we wanted, when we fall onto hard times, when we struggle financially, maybe our health, maybe the loss of a loved one. We try to endure that grief. You see, we are to not to lose hope. Children of God, we are not to lose hope. It seems like suddenly the joy and the presence of Jesus gets upset. And we struggle. That's a part of what's happening here. The question is, how can we make Jesus real to us in the good times and the struggles? It's simply just believing in Him. Believing that He rose again. And that He loves you. And that He proved that by letting Himself be hung on a tree. We shouldn't give up hope in Him. I know that seems pretty easy to take God for granted, I think, during the good times. I know that it is. When everything's going all right, things are going our way. We're like, hey. But that's when we need to push ourselves to grow closer to Jesus. We need to grow closer to Him in those times when we're doing well, when things are going great. And we just come closer to Him. As His word says, when we grow closer to Him, He grows closer to us. When we gravitate to Him, He gravitates to us. I think it's very, very reassuring that this morning, anybody that knows me a little bit knows that Joshua is my hero. And I think he was the first Marine. he just went into battle and he just took care of business. But he took care of business in the name of Jesus and in the name of God. And what God told Joshua, he continues to tell us throughout His scriptures. He promises that He will always walk with us. He will always be there for us. He'll never abandon us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never look at us I'm looking at the Israelites and how many times they keep on refusing to yield to God and how they keep messing up and saying, well, He's not the God of gods, and God continues to say, oh, what is wrong with you people? You know? And He's like, I know it hurts God's heart. But He doesn't give up on them. He didn't give up on them, and He doesn't give up on us. Let's listen to what is said in Isaiah, what Isaiah says to us in Isaiah 41:10 and in Isaiah 41:13. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 13 says, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. I am the one who helps you. Fear not.
You got to believe that, church. When he says, I've got you, he means that. With his righteous right hand, he has you.
Look at Psalms 23, that very first verse. Those first five words in that text says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you believe that? The bottom line, folks, is we need to hold on to that joy no matter what circumstances we are in. Jesus has promised that he will be with us. When we struggle with recognizing his presence, know that he is there. Know that he's there. Listen, as you walk your own personal road to Emmaus, as you struggle with whatever is going on in your life, trust in the promise that he is right there with you. He's not going to abandon you. He has not left you to fend for yourself. He's not. I know this is not part of my lesson this morning, but when you go back to this, when you go back to that, this is free. I'm not charging you anything. All right, but check this out. When those two disciples they get back and they're saying, "Hey, you got to know they just ran seven. I'm thinking they ran 7 miles back. They already did 7 miles to Emmaus, but now they're back to Jerusalem, and now they're running, back seven miles, and now they're back and they're running in. And they're like, you won't believe it. We saw Jesus. He was walking with us. He was talking with us." And then it says while they were sitting there in verse 36, as they were talking about those things, Jesus appears and he says, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine those disciples? "See, I told you, we seen him. There he is. There's Jesus." Oh, man. You got to live with that. You have to live with that enthusiasm of knowing that he's there, that he's alive, and he will never leave you, and that he's never going to forsake you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that your promises are true. When you speak, when you speak to us, we know that we can depend on you, trust in you. You've given us your sovereign word. You've given us your word, your sovereign word, to guide us and to lead us, and we read your word and we see that even with the Israelites, your chosen ones, even when they didn't believe in you, when they disrespected you, when they hurt you, you never left them. And I know that not any of us are perfect. Your word says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, not one of us is without sin. But your son Jesus died on the cross to take away our sin. And then you came back
For if he was to only die on the cross for our sins without any resurrection, it would have been all for naught. So this morning, Father, we thank you for your Son, the resurrection of your Son, that he has risen. That he is risen indeed. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to thank you for being